Thank you, Tim.
All right, First Chronicles chapter 12 in your Bible. First Chronicles chapter 12. I want to ask you tonight the question, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? I remember growing up, we had, as kids, we used to, you know, team up. And you know, as kids, one week you're friends, next week you're enemies. And we used to have, whose side are you on and whose side of this? We sort of have something similar to that when elections come around. And listen, politics have no place really in the deliberations of what take place in these four walls. What our leaders do and the sins, we need to call that out. But if you're in here and you call the downfalls of the people in the party you don't like, then you know you're just like them. And so it's not that is a wicked, ungodly, satanic system. We don't need to. And then when we have certain things happen, we take sides. You know, the only people you should really not like are Dallas Cowboy fans. That's the only people you should really not like. Just kidding. But it's funny. I get to liking a new preacher friend and everything, and sooner or later we talk about sports, and he says Dallas Cowboy fans. Forget you. But we take sides. It's and really, and I was talking to a young preacher friend on the way up. I had to go to New York last night. I just drove in, got dressed, and came to church. So I've been up there with the nuts. But you know, he's a young pastor, and he's lived in that area, and the pastor that was planning that church left, said, I'm leaving the church. I'm not going to stay here. You can take it. And so he's taking it. And so, but he was mentioning, you know, some things about ministry and how people are on different sides. Just because you put a little bit more pepper on your eggs is not a test of fellowship with me. And so it's crazy out there, and I think sometimes we forget. And then I think another thing I want to mention by way of introduction is we get the pull of the world on us. If we don't watch it, we get the pull of the world on us. And it doesn't have to be a thing that's bad. It's just a thought process. We start thinking like the world in the way we do things. You know, if you start thinking in a worldly way and mix that at the way you treat your church, you're not going to be a good church member. You're just not. The world doesn't look at church, and being part of the church family and serving as a unit doesn't look at that the same way as we do. Every time you talk to somebody about church, you say, yeah, they just want money, and they just want this, and they just want that, and they're always something. But who are you on the Lord's side? And that's what I want to think about tonight. I want to just pull some verses out of here, and not out of context, but in this story, if you look back to... Chapter 10, it says in verse 12, then arose all the valiant men and took away the body of Saul and bodies of his sons and brought them to Jabesh and buried them their bones under the oak in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord. That's pretty strong, isn't it? The Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. And so this is just taking place. David showed respect to Saul. He had a chance to do away with Saul. That's what they did back then. He spared his life. David didn't do anything wrong. He did what God told him to do. A lot of times you do right and somebody and people and you pay for it. You shouldn't. But you do right and people treat you bad for it. And so here he is, and he's in a transition time. Like Paul said, he was a strait betwixt two. This is sort of a different strait. He's now king. God anointed him to be king way back, right? And now it's here. The anticipation is over. I don't know if David said, now what I do? Where's the instruction book? But there's an encouraging thing that takes place here. And I want to give you some thoughts tonight, because we need to be on the Lord's side. If I'm Tim's friend spiritually, if I'm Tim's friend, you know, I want to be loyal to him, build him up and everything. But if there's a difference, we need to talk about it. You know? That's important. And that's, the world just sweeps it under the carpet. But am I on the Lord's side? Are we on the Lord's side? As you sit there, are you on the Lord's side or are you on your side? Are you doing your own thing? Well, I think I... No, you should know. Right? I mean, I don't think I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Right? I do. And so I want to give you some thoughts tonight. Very, very simple thoughts. And if I fall asleep, you can just come up and read them, Tim. They're real easy to read up here. If I fall asleep on the pulpit, I'm just kidding. Look at verse chapter 12, and look at verse 18, what it says. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was the chief of the captains. Now, this is not an evil spirit. This is the Spirit of God. He sees the new king, and he said, "Thine we are, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace be unto thee, and peace be unto thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee." Then David received them and made them captains of the band. Now, David is in a spot. He's in a spot. See, there's no time for coronation. There's no time to chill. The Philistines want to kill him. The enemies of the Lord are after him. They're relentless. And they want to kill. You know, if we really knew what terrorist plots there were that were thwarted by our intelligence and by the intelligence of Israel, we would. But back then, I mean, you know, you'd find somebody dead with their head cut off and things. I mean, it was bad. A lot of killing going on, and David needed some men. And listen. God wants men and women to be on his side. And he wants, we need to tell God we're on his side. You ever pray and tell God, I love you?
Amen.
You ever tell God, I don't know where I'd be without you?
Amen.
I mean, wow. You ever thank God for his mercy?
Amen.
I mean, I go throughout every day and I look, I remember you all and I thank God for every one of you. And you know, I find myself sometimes thanking God for, one day I was thanking God and I said, thank you for William. I said, oh, he's not here anymore. So then I got off to thinking about William, you know. And just thanking God for people and people that are here, are here in this place. Now, who is on the Lord's side? That's the question here. And David here is, he's here and he's a king, he's the king now. And I want you to notice verses 24 through 37. I'm not going to read them. But all these people, 6,800, 7,100, 4,600, and it goes on and on. All these men, these people said, hey, you are our king. We are on your side. They told God that. I want you to notice this. The king uses men and women from every tribe and nation.
Amen.
Every tribe and nation here. And that, this is teach us. Listen, if we don't have an international church, I don't know who does. You know, I tell, so if, what are people like from your church? And I said, well, they're from here and there. And, you know, we even have people from West Virginia, you know, and I tease about it. But we have people, we have an international church. I mean, people from, and just, I mean, it, and it shows itself too. I mean, when this dear lady stood up and said her son was kidnapped, I'm still haven't wrapped my head around that. But, you know, she was in church, she was smiling. I thought, well, bless God. But we, God wants to use everybody. I get around, and I'm going to tell you something. There are people that call them independent Baptist preachers. And if you're different from them, they're not really wanting to minister to you.
True.
They are.
Right.
They are. And listen. It's a spiritual problem.
Right.
It's a spiritual problem. You know. When I was at Independent Baptist Church, there's this one fella, and he said, and every time we go door knocking, I'd say, hey, will you be my partner? And one day after he figured it out, he said, I know why you want to be, he said, I know why you want me to be your partner. You know, we're in Prince George's County knocking on doors. He said, because we look like salt and pepper. And I was sitting in the middle of the road laughing like this. We were laughing like this. But we were serving God. You got two people, different cultures, look different, knocking on doors for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And it was effective and it was smart too.
Amen.
It was smart too. And so people from every tribe. And listen. People from other countries have to assimilate themselves. We got to meet with these two folks back there, and I got to laughing. She didn't know why I was laughing. Pam explained to her a couple of times. But she says, I can't understand your accent. I'm thinking, my accent? I mean, you know, and it just tickled me. You know how you get tickled at something like that? And we all started laughing. But they have a different voice inflection. Do you understand what I'm saying? Voice inflection, the way folks speak. And what I'm saying is people have to assimilate themselves into this country. You just think of the different people from every country that come to our church and are part of what goes on here. That's amazing. And that's exciting. And listen, God wants to use people from every culture, every nation. He created Saul. Hey, listen, don't you let the devil get into you, and don't you get sinful about not having problems with different people. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We need to learn to appreciate people.
Amen.
when I get out away from here, I'm not in my, I get kind of, I get kind of, I like it around here. I used to sing all the time, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious, and it's like,
amen.
Jesus loves the little children of the world. We don't forget that, don't we? Huh? I mean, we have all shades, right? You get older, you get really crinkly and everything. But yeah, anyhow, I won't get on that. I'll get depressed. Then the second thing is this. Look at the thought here. God needs people, men and women, that are separated unto Him.
Amen.
Now, I know this is a difficult thing, but look at verse 8. It says this. And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold of the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as roes upon the mountains. You know what you call those guys? Sir. They were bad dudes. They had faces that looked like lions. I'm going to tell you something. You don't want to look at them. Scare you. Amen, Frank? And then listen, these guys, but I want you to circle that word in the verse if you got your pen. They separated themselves.
Amen.
Okay? Amen?
Amen.
They separated themselves. Let me tell you something. Most of our churches today, we're just playing games. We're just playing games. I do this and I do that. Well, we're not separated. We're not. If we're separated to God, that's a whole other level of service.
Amen.
What do you mean? Well, if you're separated to God, you're separated to God, but you're separated from the world.
Amen. That's right.
We shouldn't look anything like the world.
Right.
Let me just tell you something. We've had a chance for several years to look separated from the world, but Lord knows what you're going to face or who you're talking to. You say, what's your pronouns? My pronouns, I'm not going to do it, but my pronouns are a snort and a burp. I want you to know I'm a man. I talked to Patrick, and Patrick, he messes with his boys. He said, Dad, I want them to know that they're all boy. He said, they have knives.
Amen.
He said, they're going to shoot guns.
Amen.
They fall down, I tell them to walk it off.
Amen.
So I don't let Mama walk up and kiss it and all that stuff. What is with that, Dad? And you know, but listen. This is crazy times.
Yes, brother.
And if we don't watch it, we get around it, and we hear it all the time. We hear it all the time. Now, let me just say this. I'm not for boycotting places. I mean, you know. Of course, I didn't have to boycott the beer thing or anything because I don't drink beer.
Amen.
But you know. These people, everybody's trying to cater to the craziness. Did you ever think, I'm getting a little off track, did you ever think a guy would be competing against a girl in girl sports? So what's with that? Well, that the problem is, when you're not separated to God from the world will take you and mold you to be what it wants you to be. And it's a humanistic thinking. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be, every day, we ought to be drawing closer to God. It says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
And let me just say, leave the preference out. I hear that so much, I get ill with that, the preference. Well, you're Christian. I don't know if you should wear that. Well, it's none of your business. NYOB, none of your business. People say, well, you know, people wear whatever. You wear what you're supposed to wear. You dress the way you're supposed to dress. And you continually draw closer to God. And you'll find yourself, let me just say, now more than ever, a woman ought to look like a lady.
Amen.
She ought to smell like a lady. She ought to walk like a lady. She ought to talk like a lady. Now, I don't mind a lady being able to knuckle punch somebody if she needs to, okay? She has to womp on somebody. That's okay with me. And I know some women that can whoop men, but anyhow, that's another message. But men ought to look like men. Men ought to look like men. And you know, it's just crazy. And so it's important that we separate ourselves to God. Now, let me give you something else. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says they were armed with bows and could use both right hand and left hand. Hey, that's pretty cool. Now, you think about that. Ampedestrian. These guys, if somebody could throw one from here and one from here, it was like a repeater. Like a Mr. Machine Gun. You know, in baseball, if a player can switch hit, that's a bonus. That's they like those kind. I don't see many people that can use both hands in the other sports, but let me just say something. He needs people who are fully trained and equipped for warfare. Now, if you think you're getting to a place, look at verse 8. He says, verse 8. The Gadites, you see, they could handle a shield and a buckler whose faces were like lions. They were fast. And then look at verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank. You know what that means, to keep rank? What's it mean to keep rank? Didn't mean they smelled bad.
Stay together.
You understand? There were no lone rangers. Exactly. They were in rank. They were a unit. That's an important thing. Mm-hmm. That's an important thing in the mind of a soldier. And notice, they were armed with bows. They were ready for warfare. The Bible tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood.
Amen.
Our three main weapons. The Word of God. And the prayer of faith and the Holy Spirit. You and I need to understand. You need to understand. We need to understand that the weapons that God has given us, we should be skilled in those.
Amen.
Now, there's nothing wrong with saying, I've never seen that before, because sometimes your pastor says that. I look into something, I say, oh, I read that before, but I didn't see that way.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God says, well, it was there. Let's dig a little bit. How skilled are you with this?
Amen.
Do you know what a skilled person with the Word of God will do? Let me give you a testimony. Isaac Bohack spoke here. Redheaded young man. His dad works for the State Department. And at lunchtime, he'd have people come up and ask questions. And he'd open the Bible and turn to a portion of Scripture and say, read that. Say, how do you know? Well, he gave me a name of a couple that he'd been talking to. We went by over in Alexandria, led them to the Lord. My wife was there. And he said, every time we asked him a question, he'd take the Bible out and he'd show it to us. He didn't answer it. He let the Bible answer the question.
Amen.
You know what that is? That's a skillful soldier.
Amen.
Amen? And so we need to be skillful. The king needs skillful men and women. And then he needs men and women who are prepared to count the cost. In verse 15, it says, these are they that went over the Jordan in the first month, when it had overflown all his banks, and they put to fight all them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. They had to fight across the river. It was flooded. They had to deal with that, but they just kept and went and fought. You know, we need to understand, we need to count the cost. We need to count the cost. This church here has not been sustained on with a bunch of people that have not sacrificed. Right? People, we have sacrificed to keep this place going. We need to count the cost. I mean, a lot of young men get in the ministry. They're in it for prestige. They're in it for popularity. And you look around and you look to the left and you look to the right and they're gone. What happened? They didn't count the cost. My PM at my job, Brian Roebuck, just got back. His son was an officer in the Navy for just a little bit and said, I want to be a SEAL. I mean, they just don't give you a badge. And I don't know how many, 50 started. It ended at 8 in his class. And he's one of them. And Brian got back and he said, man, he said, let me just tell you, I met his friends. He said, they got each other's back. He said, and Pat, some of the things they went through, I'd have never made it. Out of all the people that start, only a few make it. We need to count the cost. And then God wants some men and women of supernatural strength. What are you talking about, supernatural strength? Well, our strength is in the Lord. Our strength is in the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 21. And they helped David against the band of rovers, for they were all mighty men of valor and were captains of the host. Listen, God and you are a majority. Now, I got to tell you, sometimes we don't feel like that. I was telling Darian on the way to church, I was telling him I wanted to, God laid a thought on my heart from the scriptures, but I couldn't organize it to preach it tonight. But I think it's an encouraging thing. But you know, sometimes we get lonely in the service of the Lord, and we get to thinking, you know, nothing's happening. And, you know, Lord, I shared the gospel with this person, and what's up with that? And, you know, and I did, this person got saved, and what's up with that? And God tells us in His Word that He's going to get the glory. Now, if He's going to get the glory, it's got to be done in His strength.
Amen.
Not by my might. Right? Now, God, you turn God loose on somebody. You know, I was thinking today about those people. I wonder what's going on with those guys that stole Brother Kearney's vehicle. They're probably really having a hard time because they mess with God. You heard about the guy that went into the room, the dark room. He's a thief. He broke in the window. And he had this little flashlight. Dawn, you've heard this. You remember this one? Huh? She never forgot this one. Tim has. Do you remember this one? Huh? You all write this down so I won't tell it again. You remember, Mona? So he goes in. He says, gets in there and he starts milling around. He hears, God is watching you. And he looks over and it's a parakeet. And he's sitting on there and he mills around a little bit more. He says, God is watching you. Looks and puts a light on his spot. Goes a little bit more and says, God is watching you. Puts light on. He says, shut up, you stupid bird. And he says, sick him, God. And he puts, here's this growl, and he puts this light on this Doberman pincher. But you know, really, that may be humorous, but we would do well to sick God on our problems. Instead of trying to handle them ourselves. Right? And so supernatural power, supernatural strength. And then he needs men and women who have unquestionable loyalty. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, verse 6, 16 and 17 says, and there came of the children of Judah, Benjamin and Judah, to hold unto David. And David went out to meet them and answered and said, if ye come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit to you. But if ye come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing here is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. That's pretty strong. What's he saying? You know, I need your loyalty. I need your loyalty. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we need to have blind loyalty to a man. But we need to have blind loyalty to God.
Amen.
Israel always wanted a sign. God gave them a sign. But that doesn't mean it was right. See? For we walk by faith and not by sight. And so there, unquestionable loyalty. And then let me finish by saying this. He needs men and women who are possessed with a supreme desire. What is your life's desire? What's your life's desire? In verse 23, it says this, and these are the numbers of the bands that were ready, armed to the war, and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. I mean, they were serious. They were serious. That's a tremendous statement. They wanted him to know he was king. He was their king. And he was the one. Verse 33. Of Zebulun such as went forth to battle, expert in war, and all with all instruments, 50,000 which could keep rank. They were not of what? What's that last phrase say? They were not of double heart. They were not of double heart. Look at verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart.
Amen.
You know, we're not here to glorify ourselves.
Amen.
We're here to give glory to God. If you're gonna make a statement about somebody getting saved, talk about the one who saved them.
Amen. That's right.
You're gonna talk about a number that you had at a certain activity, God gave us.
Amen.
These souls.
Right.
I believe independent Baptists and people are losing their reward here on earth because we're bragging about what we do.
Amen.
What we do.
Amen.
Yes, if a bus comes in and it has 100 on it, but God gave that 100 on
Amen.
That bus. It's important. God needs soldiers. God needs... Let me tell you something. We're in a war. Brother Kaiser talked to Brother Kaiser today, yesterday, and he's in Sparta, New Jersey at a vacation Bible school. And Brother Kaiser he's going to live and go out of another church. Now there's no problems with Solid Rock, him being at Solid Rock, but he's What he said, Brother Creed, he said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to try to get, and he says, I'm already in 4 public schools, but he says, I'm going to try to get into schools and public schools across America and minister to the 5th through the 8th grade. He said, when they get into high school, we lose them.
It's true.
And he said, we have to minister to their hearts in those transition years, 5th to 8th grade. I think those are transition years, don't you think? And you know, brother Kaiser, wife's in heaven, and he's starting to, God showed this, and we had talked about this past months when we were talking on the phone about reaching the young people. But he wants to concentrate on that fifth through eighth grade. And he said, we got a battle. It's a battle on our hands. I talked to Brother Monty, Brother Mark Monty. Every time I talk to him, he talks about the cream of crab soup I fed him at Fisherman's Inn. He thinks that's the elixir of life, so we sent some to him. But he said, he told me, and he's going to be part of the preacher's camp. He said, I've never heard of this approach before. He said, and if this, if God bless, he said, I'm thinking God's going to bless this, and this could change. He said, this could change our nation in preaching. Now, I don't want my name on it. I don't want anybody to talk about it. I want preachers to be better preachers and preach the Word of God. Let me just say something. Preachers, we have these conferences and these preaching conferences. They don't do anything for the church. I don't go to them. It's not because I wouldn't enjoy them, but I got things I need to do here. And when you preach to a bunch of preachers, that's one thing. But when you preach to your church, your local church, that's where God works. That's where God works. We're in a battle. We have to explain creation like we've never explained it before. We have to, and if we, listen, we need God. We need to be on the Lord's side, and we need Him on ours. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the time You've given us. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the example of these men who were loyal to their King. Lord, help us to ask ourselves every day, whose side are we on? And let's help us to draw closer to You. We are Your servants. We are Your soldiers. We're in the Lord's army. And bless our decisions in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. If God spoke to you, you want to get alone with Him, you come. Amen. I'm going to get Darian to put a plate at the back. If you have an offering, just drop it in there, and we'll get it to Brother Arnold. He called me on the way to church. He said, I took one of those pills, so I won't be there. So pray for him. Pray that he gets that thing taken care of. Amen? Amen. Well, let's make it through the rest of the week with the Lord. Amen? We don't have to fake it. We can make it with Him. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Brother Frank, close for us.